The Bastards of Boston Baseball Podcast.
Back to Folk. Red Sox fans have longed to hear it. The Boston Red Sox are world champion. Game over, series over, and the Red Sox are world champs again.
Yes, indeed. Here it comes. Another edition of the Bastards of Boston Baseball.
Listening to the newly rebranded Fire Breslow podcast presented by the Bastards of Boston Baseball. I'm your host, Charlie Smith. You can find me on Twitter/X at Smith_MLB. My co-hosts for this one are going to be Juan Liriano at Juan on MLB and Matt Holmes at MLB at Matt. If you want more Bastards of Boston Baseball content, check out bastardsofbostonbaseball.com. Matt, this is the first time that you and I get to work together. I'm super pumped. I got the two rookies up and coming with me today. This is going to be a fun one. So quick temperature check. Matt, I'll have you go first, please. How are you feeling with the Boston Red Sox right now?
Well, they just continue to baffle me. Another tough one here. I mean, this is just a team of close but not good enough. Just a crazy game. We needed another opener here for Bayo. Simon Yago doesn't do well in the first inning, and then Bayo comes out and he's lights out. We'll get more into him later, but it's just it's a perplexing team overall. They've lost 6 of 7 now, and except for that last game versus the Braves, they've had the game time or game winning run on base in every one of those games except for that first one last Friday when they had the game time run at the plate. So they're just, you know, they're knocking on the door, but they're not bringing it home, and I think that's just signs of a young team and an experienced team. And yeah, you're going to go through some growing pains.
Yeah, Juan?
I'd feel a lot better if they just came out and said that we're sellers and that we're done with this season, because what else needs to go wrong for this team to just say, wave the white flag, we're done. I'm done with the openers with Brian Bayo. Either you figure something out or enough with you. The offense, you can't really say much about the offense, right? When you start off a game in the first inning that way, it's already difficult for this team to come back and win. I think they have, 2-30 record. I forgot what the number is when they're having to come from behind. So that's a difficult mountain to climb there for them. So I'm at the point where if they just came out and said that they were sellers, I'd be happy.
So my overall temperature check, without name dropping anybody, is that we have been in we're not serious mode since before the season started. And what I mean by that is when you don't present this team, this lauded franchise, one of the most storied franchises in sports, full stop, with the tools you need to succeed, you are not taking it seriously. You are mailing it in. You are just doing the participation trophy team thing. And when you're the Boston Red Sox, there is no planet, no day in which you should be the fourth or the fifth or the sixth or the seventh worst team in baseball. It's inexcusable. It's unforgivable. And for that, I will say what I've been saying. This season's already over. It's already done. And the more and more people that you're now starting to see, read, hear, talk about, they're starting to stop drinking the potions, stop taking the sauce. They're starting to realize this team never took this team seriously. You have the most ridiculous situations happening left and right. Before the season started, people were saying 90 wins, 88 wins, 84 wins. That's if everything goes right and nobody gets injured. We've had nothing but injuries this year. We're now 10 games under 500, and it doesn't seem to be getting any better. This is gauntlet round 2. Terry and I were just talking about it. But I think before we kind of poo-poo one specific situation, I think we should talk about the highlight of the game. So I believe that's going to be Juan. So Juan, why don't you go first and cover your topic here?
How odd it is to say that the highlight of the game is Brian Bello, while at the same time, I'm getting ready to crush Brian Bello. Giving him credit, pitched 7 innings, only gave up 4 hits, no walks, didn't allow a run, right? Came in with a 4-0 deficit after we went with another opener. I mean, same guy, really, Samaniego. It's either him or Moran, and neither of them are any good to open up games. So I like what I saw from Brian Bello. I love that you know, he was able to keep his composure. He didn't make matters worse, of course. But can you do this in the first inning? Right? Like, enough is enough. Either you can pitch an entire game because you're being paid as a starting pitcher, or guess what? We're going to have to option you, or, I don't know, shop you away to teams and say, look, he does have the talent. You just got to work with him. Because we can't keep doing this. We can't do this every single Brian Bello outing. Like, I'm sick and tired of seeing, whether it's, you know, Moran or Samaniego, we don't have Bernardino anymore. So who else is the option here? Are you going to start Chapman in the first inning? Is that what we're going to do? Like, that's what other options do we have here? They need to figure something out, because we can't keep doing this. We can't keep going into a Brian Bello outing, giving up runs in the first inning, and then expecting him, you know, expecting the team to win when our offense is trash right now. So it's kind of weird that I'm boosting him up and at the same time crushing him, because he's got to figure something out. He's got to figure something out.
Matt.
Yeah, I mentioned earlier this team is perplexing, and Bello is just a total enigma. This is the first time in his career he went 7 innings without allowing a walk in his entire big league career. And to your point, Juan, he pitched great, and that's awesome. But you know what's better? If he starts the game going 7 shutout, and he goes innings 1 through 7 and shuts them out, because now we actually have a chance to win. Coming in mop-up duty in the second inning when we're down 4-0 and there's absolutely no pressure on him, I mean, yeah, kudos to you, Brian Bello. You pitch well, but what good does that do the team right now? You kept us in it, but this is a team that if they fall behind 1 or 2 runs, it's an epic hill to climb for these guys. And, you know, they're just the singles merchants, probably the singles wholesalers at this point. A couple doubles in there, nothing really noteworthy. But, yeah, it was crazy. Nesson flashed the numbers here. I took a picture of it. So as a starter, 7 starts, an ERA of 9.68. 3 outings as a reliever, obviously not including today, a 0.98 ERA. He's just a completely different pitcher out of the pen, and it's a real head-scratcher. I've watched a lot of baseball. I've never seen anything like it. We've seen a lot of interesting cases and head cases and all the things and rituals, but nothing like this before. I just can't figure it out. And, you know, it's great that he feels comfortable coming out in the second inning and starting the game, you know, on a clean inning after it's already started. But you know who it's not comfortable for? Moran and Samaniego and guys who are normally relief pitchers ready to come in. I mean, at this point, we're probably better off starting off Weiser. Just get him out of the way. Then we know he won't come in later in the game, right? But, man, I don't know.
I hate when I see him.
It's tough to give Bello credit when he's paid to be a starter. And, you know, did he held the line once he came in, but did he give us a chance to win? No, because the whole reason that Samaniego's in there getting lit up in the first is because you can't start the first game. So I don't know. I can't praise him too hard. Just as well as he pitched, I can't give him too much credit because, you know, he did not put the team in a good position to win. He held the line and didn't make it hurt any worse. But, man, he was cruising, though. It's a real head-scratcher, this guy.
So the Boston Red Sox have one of the more unique situations now in baseball where they now need an opener for someone who's supposed to be a starter. When I think about the first inning, or I think about somebody that is dealing with a really rough first inning, I think of you. I think it was Yu Darvish, who has one of the ugliest ERAs against the first batter he faces ever. And if you guys haven't seen it, watch it. He just has the yips for the first batter, and then he's good. Honestly, hit the first guy and then just start the party, because at this point, or just throw up 4 fingers, you can't do it, and then move to number 2. It is so frustrating, and I feel bad for Samaniego, who came out there, who's only had 1 blip, was, I believe, optioned, and then brought back up and gave up the fourth spot in the first inning. But it's frustrating. It's unfortunate that it happened to him. If you assume four runs, you're probably thinking it was Weissert. But then you got Bayo, who comes out there and just shoves for seven innings. I mean, one of the last batters he faced, was a 97, 98 mile an hour fastball, and it was nice. It was tight. It was clean. It was fantastic. So it is really, really tough to watch one inning of baseball, regardless of who's pitching, and think to yourself, yeah, we just lost the game in the first inning. I have never said that about a Boston Red Sox team in my life. And I've been watching this team for a very long time. I have never said that after one inning of baseball, we lost the game. And people are going to say that's really negative and that's BS. Here's the facts, guys. Through 56 games right now, the Red Sox have knocked in 200 guys. They've knocked in 200 RBIs. We're only not the worst to one team. We're the second worst to the San Francisco Giants, who were lethargic at knocking runs in. And all of a sudden, now they care. We also have 42 home runs. And if you look at it on paper, we've got like 150, give or take, 145 extra base hits. That means we've got over 305 singles. We are the wholesale singles team. Wholesale singles. Let's go. And you know, we just watched a team score nothing or do nothing but get singles. And it was consistent. One of them just over the second baseman's hand, that glove. And I'm like, oh my God, it was so close. But sometimes that's what it takes. Like, Cleveland doesn't spend crazy amounts of money. We know that. Some of their players take pretty team-friendly deals. But good teams find a way, and bad teams can't find a way. And you just saw it firsthand. Brian Bayo, even though he allowed no additional runs, this team was only able to generate three. That's it, three runs. And even with a runner in scoring position, if you have a runner at second base and no outs, I think there's probably a less than 30% chance you actually can knock that guy in, as opposed to another team that could start with nobody on base and no outs and probably generate a run. That's what's frustrating, is you have a less likely probability of scoring a run or knocking a run in from second base than another team has with nobody on base. It's just, that's the Boston Red Sox right now. We can't score runs. We're not a good small ball team. We're just not a good team. We're just not good.
Yeah. Anything else you guys want to add? Yeah. I saw a stat with Brian Bayo, which is part of what, I don't know, man. I've never seen something like this with him. I mean, in 18 and one-third innings and his three bulk relief appearances, he's allowed less than one earned run. In over 30 innings pitched as a starter, his ERA is at 9.68. What that tells me is that he's mentally frail. You run into any problems in the first inning and you can't figure it out? Like, that's what we're talking about. Remember, when we started the season, Brian Bayo wasn't the fifth starter. He was prompt to be either the second or third best pitcher in our team. And this is the guy that we're having to constantly throw openers for because he's not there mentally. And at what point is he going to be able to figure it out? Because as a Sox fan, I'm frustrated seeing this. But the guy that, I say this all the time, you know, from DR, right? I'm from DR. And all we were told is that, hey, that's the next guy that you grew up watching in Pedro. And this is not him. Because we're patting him. We're patting him on the back. Hey, don't worry. We're going to have someone open up for you because we know you can't figure it out in the first inning. That's not what we should be doing. That's not what this team needs right now. This team needs Brian Bayo to figure it out. It's either that or you're going to have to pitch him to somebody at some point because it stinks to see the Red Sox have to do this. I've never seen this in my lifetime as a Sox fan.
There's nothing left
to
say.
I got no words. I mean, there's crazy. Nothing left to say.
He's supposed to be the guy. He's supposed to be a veteran, right? He's supposed to be a fifth-year player, and he just seems to be regressing. Although, I guess today he wasn't regressing. He was dialed in today. So, but again, he just didn't put us in a position to win. You know, Charlie, you mentioned it was over in the first. I texted you guys when it was 1-0 and a couple of base runners on it. I said this might be over already. In regards to the offense, too, this is a historically bad offense. So, you know, congratulations, Craig Breslow. You're making history. You're doing things we haven't seen in 100 years. I saw and bookmarked a tweet earlier that feels relevant since we're talking about runs. The fewest runs per game at Fenway in reverse order, 1917, 3.66, 1919, 353, 1914, 343, 1916, 323, and then 2026 so far, 321, 3.21. So the lowest of all of those. And, oh, by the way, the quote-unquote dead ball era ended in 1920. So all of those seasons I just mentioned before that were during the dead ball era. This is just historically anemic. And, 3.21 runs at home, and we scored exactly 3 runs today. So, once again, just not good enough. This is, we're in critical red zone territory right now, 10 games under. It's, you know, if we haven't already, it's just about time to accept that this is just a bad baseball team, and this is what bad baseball teams do. Good teams find ways to win. Bad teams find ways to lose, and that's what we're witnessing here.
I can't add anything else. One? No? All right. Well, that's it for Bayo. Matt, what did you want to talk about?
So Duran has obviously been heating up. I don't have his May numbers in front of me, but I just think it's worth talking about how he is certainly kickstarted the offense a little bit. I know it's just trashing the offense, 3.1 runs in the season, but he's been a spark plug at the top of the order, had an RBI today, another nice base hit. Do we think he's going to get traded? I mean, he's definitely increasing his trade value right now with playing better, but what do you guys think? Is he going to get traded or?
It's a perfect time. It's a perfect time. In his last 8 games, he's batting .387, 4 home runs, 9 RBIs, an OPS at 1.328. And last night went 4-for-5. Tonight he went 1-for-4 with an RBI. If there's a time to trade him, which was the last 2 years, as we were talking about before the show, this is the time. If he keeps playing this way, this team isn't going anywhere. I don't care if they're 4.5, 5 games behind that last wild card spot. If we're going to be honest here as Sox fans, this team isn't going anywhere. So if they're not going anywhere, the whole point is to just sell whatever you can. We've talked about the Contreras of the world, Sonny Gray. Jarren Duran is one of those guys, because if you're still believing in Roman Anthony, right, that he's going to come back and he's going to be the player that you promised us, you're not going to go the entire season with 4 guys in the outfield. You're not going to go into, if there's baseball next season, you're not going to go into next season with 4 guys in the outfield. You're going to have to figure out his role, because you're not going to be able to shop Yoshida. That ship has sailed. Nobody wants him for that money, for that contract. So Jarren Duran is the odd man out. So this is the time. If he keeps playing the way that he's playing right now, this is the time to figure out a way. If you know what's happening with Roman Anthony, hopefully he's coming back. If he is coming back, you got to figure out a way to trade him.
I'm going to be real short and brief. I am a huge Jarren Duran supporter. I struggle real hard to be able to say, yeah, package him in a deal, put him in a deal, send him away. This team is so notoriously bad for not listening to the fans, not listening to the team, not listening, full stop, right? You ship out Rafi Devers, you get a couple prospects back. You ship those prospects back to get short-term rentals like idiots. We weren't going to win the World Series. We weren't going to win the AL Central, like the AL East, anything. We weren't going to win the league. It just wasn't going to happen. So you get the Red Rocket from LA, you ship Tibbs over, who looks like a future star. But because we just are going the Stevie Wonder route of trying to educate hitters, no one's getting anything done, and it's beyond frustrating. So you ship Jarren Duran off, what if Jaren Duran refines his form? Even before that, before you answer that, you got rid of Devers. You didn't re-sign Bregman, although I'm not pissed that Bregman didn't come back. I think that contract was an albatross, and he's never going to age. He's not going to ever live up to $40 million a year. That's insane. I was so happy he opted out. But this isn't a destination team. No one says, oh, yes, sign me up to go to Boston. Do you guys remember Miguel Vargas's reaction when he got shipped to the Chicago White Sox after playing for the Los Angeles Dodgers? He was the most sad, dejected player ever. That is the Boston Red Sox as a whole. We're a dejected bunch. We don't get anything done. Nobody wants to come play in our pool slash pond. It's effing embarrassing. You get rid of another fan favorite, good luck trying to get real talent to want to come to Boston. I don't blame Garrett Crochet if he goes, yeah, you know, this was fun for a little bit, but they pitched it like a certain thing, and it's not that. It just, it hasn't been that. It wasn't that. This is really frustrating, and I don't know if I want to be a part of it. If Jaren Duran were to say, yeah, I want to leave, that's a different story. But I have not heard Jaren Duran once say, I want out of Boston. This is his home. I mean, some of the things he said to fans, not appropriate, but some of them are warranted. And I'll be the first one to say, any person who talks behind a cage at a person who you're paying to go see, and you start yelling expletives, or you start cussing them out about this, that, and the other, you make comments about mental health, I hope you get hit by a bus. I really don't care. Because there is a mental health crisis epidemic right now. I'm done. You know, like if you are not a Jaren Duran supporter for certain aspects, you don't have to support him for everything. And if you're going to, you know, hate on him because he's, you know, he does fun things extra, you know, with extracurriculars, or he wants to get a tattoo, dude, screw you. I mean, you're a nobody. You're nothing. So to the people out there that don't support Jaren Duran, you know who you are. You're still as irrelevant yesterday as you were the day before that. That's it. I don't want Jaren Duran gone. I just don't. And if you do, that's fine. There is a right and a wrong situation in some of the situations that we talk about, or some of the cases that we talk about. I don't know if this is one of them, but I will really, really be upset if Jaren Duran is not wearing Red Sox colors.
Well, fortunately for you, Charlie, I think I don't think he's going to get traded, right? With Roman Anthony being out right now, I just don't see it happening. I think they need him too much right now, although he has been playing well and certainly increased his trade value. I'm sure at some point before the July deadline, Craig will be getting some calls about him if he continues to play this way. But also, I think if they were looking to trade Jaren Duran, he would have been traded already. Obviously, we know the best time to trade him was after 2024 when he had his best season ever. And they should have known, hey, we've got a couple outfielders coming up in the pipeline. We might want to sell high on this guy. But for some reason, the same team that has no problem trading away Mookie, Devers, Chris Sale, right? This guy, Jaren Duran, he's untouchable. We can't move this guy under any circumstances. So although he has a little bit thin skin at times, he has been the heartbeat of the team these last few years, which I don't know if that's a compliment or not, considering the success or lack thereof that we've had. But I do think the team right now is better with him than without him. But it'll be interesting to see, right? Because we are, like I said before, definitely in the danger zone. It would be logical to start thinking about selling off some of your assets. And Jaren Duran would be at the top of that pile in terms of movable guys. And, you know, I hate to be talking about this sort of thing selling in May before the end of May, but if we don't turn it around and turn it around quick, it's there's going to be no other alternative.
The big question mark for me is Roman Anthony. The roster was constructed poorly, so we already know that. When everyone was healthy, you were platooning guys in the outfield and you were platooning guys in the infield. So it's clear that they have a roster construction issue. If Roman Anthony comes back healthy, say you want to protect him and you want to DH him, what are you doing with Yoshida? You're not putting him in the outfield. God, no, you're not doing that. So you're going to be platooning the DH, and by default, you're going to be platooning the outfield. That's the biggest problem. My issue is not so much with Duran. If this roster was constructed properly, Yoshida not being here and you DHing Roman Anthony full time and keeping that outfield of Duran, Rafaela, and Abreu in the outfield, that's perfect for me. But that's not the situation right now, especially if Roman Anthony comes back healthy. You're going to continue to have the same issues. If guys aren't playing every day, they're not going to be hot. They're not going to be able to go on these streaks that you've seen Duran go on because he's playing every single game. That's my biggest concern. Not with whether I like Jaren Duran or not, but with the construction issue with the team. I don't know. It's a problem all the way around. If I had it my way, Duran would be on this team. But it's an issue right now with how the team was constructed.
100%. And there are a couple listeners out there that, you know, they're going to say what they want to say, and that's fine. The fact of the matter is, if you get rid of a guy who's bumped his batting average up from 174 to 216 or whatever it was today when it ended, I don't remember. What's his batting average now? It's got to be
close to 217. The last I checked, somewhere in the middle of the
game. He's bumped it up almost 40 points, right? He's had a plethora of home runs. He's not stealing bases as regularly as I want him to be, but he's getting home runs, he's getting on base, he's scoring runs, he's doing what you need your leadoff guy to do. What the hell else do you want him to do? Like, I mean, it's frustrating when you have, you know, head of operations, president of baseball operations, your GM, whatever you want to call that clown, you know, him saying, oh yeah, you guys are here to play baseball, you're not here to like offer opinions or whatever. Like, okay, great, awesome. So do you want... You've created this atmosphere where now you don't want the players to question you in any capacity. You want them to play, and that's it. Sit down, shut up, and play ball, because that's what you're paid to do. That's it. Done. Right? That's annoying to me, because could you imagine that happening on a team that's flowing really well? Do you think that's the mentality in Atlanta? Do you think that's the mentality in Tampa Bay or LA? I mean... those guys look like they're having so much fun. They must wake up like, thank God I get to play baseball today. As opposed to here in Boston, there might be certain situations where some players are like, oh man, I really wish it just rained today. That sucks if any players are thinking that. I believe that there probably are a couple in Boston. I don't think anybody in Atlanta, anyone playing for the Dodgers, anyone from Tampa Bay is saying, please don't put me in. Don't put me in. But here, yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if there is that, you know?
Yeah, I'm glad you mentioned his numbers there quickly, Charlie, because, yeah, very slow start. And when did he start heating up? Oh, right around the time when he started getting full-time playing time, right? So what do you know? That logjam not only made it difficult decisions on whoever's managing these guys, but once he, you know, guys need everyday reps, especially him. He's the type of guy that... It's just so funny to me that, oh, once you start giving him the everyday play, now his numbers start to creep up. And I just took a quick glance at him. He's got 8 home runs, 29 RBI, and 10 stolen bases in 50 or 51 games, depending on how up-to-date this baseball reference is. So quick math check, right? That's on pace for almost 30-30 season with 90 RBI. I mean, that's a heck of a season right there. And we're barely even talking about it because he had such a slow start. Because he barely got regular playing time. He was platooning, only seeing right-handed action. And it's just the thing about Duran, too, he always reminded me of Jacoby Ellsbury 2.0. He kind of tracks similar athletically, strengths, weaknesses, that sort of thing. Definitely a spark plug, and have some seasons where they go off and then some seasons where they kind of, oh, is that really the guy that we thought he was? And we all know what happened when he signed that big contract with the Yankees. He fell off a cliff, and we all love to see that. Not that we're rooting for that to happen with Duran, but you got to kind of learn from some lessons there and say, I can sell high on a guy like this a year or two ago, or even still this year, knowing that, you know, a guy who the strength of his game is built on his speed and his legs, he's getting older now, 29 years old, which is plenty young universally, but in the game of baseball, when you play that hard, and you're trying to steal bases, right? You already mentioned the stolen base numbers are down. Well, once those legs go, then, you know, the type of player that he is starts to turn into a different player, right? He doesn't have other tools to necessarily lean on other than that. And I just, you know, if guys like us can see and point that out, then I'm not really sure what's going on up top with that president of baseball operations, who we're just not going to say his name anymore because it's a Friday night and we don't want to kill the vibes just yet. But it'll be interesting to see what happens to him if he continues to play for us and plays well, then great. We love to see it. I love seeing him in a Red Sox uniform cruising the bases. But if we can get some assets that are going to make the future team better, outside of course, like a 10-2 run here, which is what we need to do to get back in it. Otherwise, if you're looking at mid-June, still 10 under, it's a very steep hill to climb.
Here's my thing, too, real quick. If you're going to sell off all the pieces, right, and you're going to go full 1997 Florida Marlins, full 2003 Marlins, you're just selling the whole thing off and you're just calling it, right? You got no names on your team. You got nothing but a bunch of rookies, one-year deals, players that don't have an identity. They don't really feel like Boston could be their home or is their home. It's just a weird situation, right? You can't get rid of every single big name on this team. It doesn't work. You can't do that. So you're going to have to keep some of them. Jaren Duran is one that I'm totally cool. I don't want him gone. So, I mean, it's crushing. The situation is soul crushing. I mean, you've got to keep some of the players here, or you risk losing complete identity. And next year is going to be no baseball, possibly because of this cap that they want to institute. It's a nightmare, you know? So, yeah, sure, you want to trade your pieces and get prospects. That's great. Then you have a bunch of prospects. But I don't want to get into the prospect conversation because I'm already annoyed with the whole use of the word prospects, because we're not using it. We're not doing anything with it. Anything else you guys want to add before I really go off? Oh, this is going to be fun. Here we go, guys. Here we go. I'm so glad you're both sitting. Roman Anthony. That's it, right? It's the only two words right now that in Boston make your kind of eyes twitch the way that like Tristan Casas does now on a consistent basis. I don't even remember the last time I saw Tristan Casas take a non-dry swing. And that was the most frustrating expression ever when he was taking dry swings, like mental swings in my head to like really feel it, right? So Roman Anthony gets injured, hits a foul ball earlier this month, felt something weird, ended up getting taken out of the game for precautionary reasons, I'm pretty sure if I remember that correctly. And then recently was hitting the ball off of a tee, had some discomfort, was dealing with more issues, one thing after another, and we're getting shut down again because we're feeling soreness. And now there's a conversation between a tear and a sprain and like all this stuff. It's really, really disheartening, right? This was one of the guys, the overall number one prospect in Major League Baseball. He's looking like, forget about like has-been. This is borderline. There are some people out here already saying this is a never was. This guy can't stay healthy. This is Tristan Casas 2.0. We don't know what we're getting. Here's the problem. You put the entire weight of a mediocre at best team on the shoulders of a guy who's barely old enough to drink liquor. Boston, one of the biggest markets in all of sports. And here you go. 21 years of age. Good luck, kid. Let's see what happens. Accidents are a part of the game. Injuries are a part of the game. Every Major League Baseball team does lie about some of their injuries, the phantom DL stints. But, I mean, this is next level, man. I mean, I don't know when we're going to see him again. I really don't. And people want to say he's got bad influences. Here's the facts. No one swung the bat for him. He swung the bat. So he didn't get injured because of somebody else. He swung the bat. It didn't end well, unfortunately, and it was unlucky. And that's the story of the 2026 Boston Red Sox. We are a very unlucky team. And don't even get me started about him fielding in left field. I see one person already commented on it. That first throw was terrifying. That one from the, I don't remember what game it was, but I'm sitting there like, really? Like, I feel like there are middle school kids that could have thrown that ball better. And it did get better, but the Roman Anthony situation is just not good. So, Juan, why don't you go first with this one? I'm curious to hear.
This is why it was so important for you to bring back Alex Bregman. I get people complaining about money. And I can see your face already. I get people complaining about money. I do not want to hear anyone complaining or talking about the Red Sox spending money when they print out. They print money. They are right at the top as far as value goes in Major League Baseball. They'll make that money right away. What was important to me was to have the right veterans that have won before, veterans that have been in clubhouses that knew how to be together, that knew how to win. I needed those guys to be here for Roman Anthony, because what they ended up doing was saying, we don't care about Alex Bregman. Go away. We're not going to pay you that money. Forget the no trade clause. And they put the world on this kid who at that point was 21 years old. Imagine telling a 21-year-old the fate of the Boston Red Sox lies on your shoulders. That is nuts. So while it's easy for people to critique his game and to say he hasn't lived up to the hype, I've been one of those. But at the same time, they put the entire fate of the franchise on his shoulders, and that was not okay. It sucks to see that he's at this point. I think they're going to end up shutting him down for the season, because what are you playing for, really? Let him heal throughout the year. Again, we don't know what's happening next season, but what's the point of risking any further injuries with this kid when he's had trouble staying healthy? There's nothing to play for. Shut him down. But before he comes back, you have to build something around this kid, because putting all the pressure on him is just not, it's not fair. It's easy, again, to critique his game, but it just hasn't been fair because of all the pressure they've put on him.
Let me play devil's advocate here, right? You want to, and I like this. This is fun because I like to debate, and there are some people that can't handle it, and it's okay. You know, mommy still tucks them in at night. You want to build around those players, right? Okay, fair. If you want to build around those guys, you can't trade Duran. You've got to keep some of the faces here that are already established, that you're not going to be shipping off for prospects. And I'm 100%. I thought it was completely unfair. That was doomed to fail from day one. Unless you go 275, 280, 25, 80, 20, you know, 25 homers, 80 RBIs, maybe you steal 10 to 15 bases. You probably, you know, we're feeling really good about it, kind of like the Padres with like Jackson Merrill, the Cubs with now the Pete Crow Armstrong. Those are guys that have the 30 stolen base, hit 300 ability, right? We're not even at the 10 home run, 50 RBI mark for this kid, right? There is such an unfair level of, like, what's the word I'm looking for? Expectation that it's almost impossible to overcome. You set a standard that was so unfair. It's not that it was crazy high, because it was on another planet. You made it so unfair, you doomed this kid to fail. It was like when we brought up Brian Baio. We didn't bring him up because we wanted to. We brought him up because we had no other options. That's why Baio made his MLB debut when he made his debut. And it was before any of the chaos that we saw before he needed an opener. It's just, it's a trash situation and a trash choice. Maddie.
You guys are talking about the Red Sox young star, right? As Jermai Hill put it on the New England Propaganda Network earlier, which is what you get when you watch these games on NESN. I look, I'm a fan of him. I think he's going to be good. He definitely showed signs and flashes of good potential of a player. But one thing about the injury, it was a freak injury. I don't know if we can expect this sort of type of, you know, injury from him moving forward. I've never heard of this type of injury. I have more issues with how they reported the injury, and, you know, he's still on the 10-day IL, but he went down 24 days ago. And just last week, Sam Kennedy's telling us the images came back fine. Now he's telling us he's got a torn ligament. I'm no doctor. A torn ligament in your finger sounds problematic, especially if he's having discomfort swinging the bat off a tee, hitting the baseball off a tee. That's nowhere near getting ready to hit a 99-mile-an-hour fastball. I could tell you that. So I'm expecting him to be out for a long time. And I don't know. I must have missed the part where he turned into a superstar already because, yeah, Charlie, you're right. The guy hasn't even hit 10 major league home runs yet. He had 8 last year, 1 this year, couple injuries both years. We don't know if he can turn that around in the future. But the 162-game average for what he put up is 14 home runs, 59 RBI, and 10 stolen bases. The batting average, OBP, look okay, but the power is not there at the major league level. And, you know, last year guys are talking about Ted Williams. Well, right now he's looking like a young, former, promising young lefty, just like Andrew Benintendi was, right? Sweet swing, sure thing, came up, had a little bit of success, but never really ended up being a pure power hitter. We ended up trading him, didn't get a ton in return. I think Franchi Cordero off the top of my head and maybe a reliever we got off of him from Kansas City. But yeah, and that was a guy who, to your point earlier, Juan, he came up and he was the fifth option. We had Mookie, we had Bogarts, we had Devers, I think Devers was up by the time he came up. So JD Martinez, right? He wasn't expected to do anything and he still was just kind of a nice little hitter, right? Now, all of a sudden, Roman Anthony, we're expecting him to come and carry the franchise when, you know, I don't know what it is with this guy. These guys, they're hesitant to pay free agent veteran guys who've proven to do to perform in the big leagues, unless your name is Trevor Story. I guess he proved he could be a good major league player playing in Coors Field. But then they turn around and just give a bag to all of these unproven guys who haven't done anything in the major leagues. Bayo, Anthony, Christian Campbell, who hasn't even seen the big league since last year, right? Sadon, to their credit, that may be a win in the contract. He, in his third or fourth year now, is starting to show signs of progression. The defense was always there. We've seen him take strides forward. But, yeah, I don't know. We're really putting a lot of faith in these guys. And really, it's just coming down to the people making these decisions don't appear to be making good decisions, right, with the players that they sign or don't sign and the players that they're paying and not paying. We're giving Yoshida $15 million a year to be a platoon guy, another guy that shows no power, no pop. So, you know, I don't know. The track record is not looking good for the franchise in general these last few years, let alone the current guys running the show. So, yeah, Roman Anthony, if my money, you know, if I'm calling the shots, I don't think he's we're going to see him anytime soon, unfortunately. Of course, when we do get him back, I want him to play well. But, yeah, apparently he's our young star, superstar, but I'm not buying that one just yet.
If the comp is Andrew Benintendi, we're in trouble.
100% agree.
We're in trouble. This is our guy. This is our Aaron Judge, we were told. If the comp is Andrew Benintendi, give me 2027 season gone, strike. I'll take it. I won't watch baseball for the entire season because we're in trouble if that's the case.
During COVID, we were begging. We're like, please just give us baseball. And then the product was out there in 2020. I was like, oh, my God, this is awful. Please, just, I'm going to go play in traffic. And I'm right back there again. You know, I just it's really, really hard. It's just hard. Anything else you guys want to add before we finish up this series with our matchups?
No, I just hopefully they can give us some signs of life here because, like I said, 10 games under 500 right now. It's really not looking good. We got the Yankees coming up next after Cleveland. So I'm with you, Charlie. It's a different type of abuse here watching these guys play baseball. It is not – I can't even say it, not an exciting brand of baseball. It's just a terrible brand of baseball. And
it's bad. You know, yeah.
You've got the Guardians, and then you've got the Yankees coming up pretty soon. Yeah. It's going to get ugly. It's going to get ugly.
You got Baltimore, New York, Tampa Bay. So you're facing three AL East opponents after Cleveland. But you got Sonny Gray going up against Parker Messick, who's been shoving this year. And then you got Ranger Suarez against Tanner Bibee. That's Cleveland's Bambi on ice. He just can't figure it out. An ERA north of 4.5. He's 0-7. It wouldn't surprise me if all of a sudden he gets his first win against the Boston Red Sox. But let's talk about Parker Messick against Sonny Gray. Sonny Gray is... I mean, I'm eating my words here on this man. He's absolutely done fantastic. Do we think he has a chance against Parker Messick? Or are you guys leaning Cleveland on this one?
I'm leaning Cleveland. It's going to be the same recipe. He's going to have a really good game. might give up two or three runs, and that's going to be too much for this team to overcome. I mean,
yeah,
crush me if you want to. Why should I have any hope at this point?
I hear you. Matt, anything you want to add?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I think there is an outside chance. I see a pathway to winning this series, right? I'm with you, Charlie. I wasn't a huge fan of Sonny Gray coming in, but he's been making me eat my words as well. He's been pitching very well lately. He's a professional pitcher. Yeah, I have no reason to believe we're going to hit tomorrow off this guy. He's a lefty too, right? So we don't hit lefties particularly well. If we do squeeze one out tomorrow, I definitely like the matchup on Sunday. Ranger going on Sunday, but again, if I'm putting money down tomorrow, I'm going to say Cleveland wins tomorrow, and then maybe we win a meaningless game on Sunday with Ranger on the hill.
I'm feeling the same way. I mean, I weigh it based on starters. If your starters feel good, look good, I never feel good about an opener game ever. That's the throwaway. I'm not going to bet against Parker Messick. And I think that if we have a shot, it's going to be in game three, like you just said. You know, full transparency. Like, that's it.
Unless we're betting IKF third or fourth tomorrow, right? Our best hitter on the team right now. Unless we're betting him third or fourth, I don't see us taking down Messick tomorrow.
No, but if he wants to pretend to be like baseball Jesus like he has been the past couple days, I mean, I'll take it. I don't think it'll make a difference. Juan, anything else you want to add?
That's about it. I want to have hope like you, Matt. I really do. I really do, but we've been getting great pitching all season and still hasn't worked out. We're 10 games below 500 at this point. So let's see what happens. I think he's going to pitch great tomorrow. Ranger Suarez is going to pitch great on Sunday, and we still might get swept.
God, that hurts to hear it too. I mean, this is gauntlet round two, guys. I mean, there's probably going to be at least one or two blowouts in this AL East. You know, this 9-10 game window that we've got. I have to look it up, actually. I think it's 3-4 and then 3. Baltimore's 3. New York is 3. Okay, so it's 3-3 game sets. And there are no days off. So from Tuesday through the 10th, Wednesday, they've got 9 straight games. And, it's home for 3, away for 6, and get out your Bibles and pray, folks. It's going to be bad. I mean, you might go 2-7 or 3-6.
I think this is the make or break stretch right now, these 9 games, right? If you come 100%. Out, if you go 2-7, 3-6, then you're 13 back middle of June. That's pretty much good night, as you wrote it. But if they somehow go 6-3, I don't see it happening, but that's the only way we start climbing back in, is winning some of these series. So, again, that's going to start tomorrow. I expect a low-scoring game. Sonny Gray should pitch well. The question is, can we get to Messick? Because the back of the bullpen, by the way, in Cleveland is also a bear, too. Cade Smith, one of the best closers in the game. And a final thought, Stephen Vogt managed to win this game tonight. You know, he came in with some urgency in that fifth inning as well, going to a high-leverage arm in that situation when we had the game. We had that starter on the back of the ropes, and that was the end of scoring for the whole game. So, not only did we get outplayed, got outmanaged a little bit too, and hopefully we can change that narrative tomorrow moving forward, or else it might be a long season, boys.
Yep. Juan, anything else you want to add?
I'm tapped out. Let's see what happens tomorrow. Let's see what happens.
All right. All righty. Well, that is going to do it for your Bastards of Boston Baseball on that new rebranded Fire Breslow podcast. From Charlie,